Listen up. I won't sugarcoat it. This is the longest cold, flu, and allergy season we've ever seen, but we're not alone. We've got Instacart. Sure, you may be a coughing snot faucet who just wants mommy, but you're not giving up! Not when cold medicine, fragrant herbal teas, and honey shaped like bears can be delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes! Now let's go win the sick playoffs!
Daddy, I just want my soup.
Oh, sorry, Sport App says it'll be here in a few minutes. Instacart for the win.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
All right, and away we go. Hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. The final week of the NFL season just happened. Man, that's a miserable time. It really is. That just stinks. College football, donezo. NFL, donezo. But quite frankly, especially with that second window open for the transfer portal, which happens in April, and you have the combine right around the corner. You got free agency right around the corner with the new league year beginning in March. And then you also do have the NFL draft. We're really not that far away from football being right back in the news. And there are some things to currently monitor, and there are some storylines that bare minimum are going to carry us from now until like the end of the month with the combine. I don't know about you guys. The combine... I like the combine from it provides content, but the actual combine drives me crazy because you have guys that put in 3 or 4 years of work in a college program and then they don't want run a 40 time fast enough. Or you have this BS with that S2 cognitive test, whatever it's called, that used to basically be what was valued with the Wonderlic. Like, those little small moments can make or break a prospect, and you see it both ways. Someone runs a blazing quick 40, and the next thing you know, they're elevating and shooting up the draft board, and then someone tanks a 40 after they just had a great 3-4 year career, and then they plummet. And also, the other thing is, and we even kind of saw this when Tony Pauline joined us, that was one of my biggest takeaways from Super Bowl week. So Tony Pauline joined us the week before. And he was at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. And he said he's heard that Michael Penix Jr. doesn't have a great work ethic. And then when I pressed him on it, his follow-up didn't really even make that much sense. So we had Michael Penix Jr. at the Super Bowl, so naturally I thought I had to bring it up to him, and he dismissed it. But I kind of side with Michael Penix Jr. on this one, just because all we heard about this dude was work ethic, work ethic, work ethic. And you don't know who told Tony Pauline that information. If maybe they were trying to use that information to kind of slander Michael Penix's name, so you have him fall a little bit in the NFL draft, and then maybe that person with the information, his team actually wants him, but they need him to fall a little bit. And the quarterbacks will drive a lot of the conversation from now until the draft with guys like Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, and a few more being available, whether that's via free agency or trade. But in the NFL draft, all we know, bare minimum, is that there's going to be 3 quarterbacks that go in the first round. And those 3 quarterbacks, in whatever order you want, will be Caleb Williams, will be Drake May, will be Jaden Daniels. And then how many other quarterbacks creep into the first round? From the J.J. McCarthy's of the world to the Michael Penix Jr.'s of the world. Can Spencer Rattler find a way to shoot up some draft boards? Bo Nix as well. I would think that 4 go in the first round. But right now, only 3, I think, are locks to go in the first round. So those are some things coming right around the corner in the next few months, especially in the NFL front, that will carry the way. And college was just so crazy with all the movement in the coaching cycle. And now we'll see if there's any other changes in April when that second wave of the transfer portal does open back up. All righty, let's get to a little overreaction, proper reaction right now.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team.
Help! Help!
Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All righty, Big Mike, CBS, what do you got cooking today?
I got a lot of things cooking, so much so that I actually have to staple the two pages together. This might be the longest overreaction, proper reaction in history.
You're like
Andy Reid.
But there's
a lot of stuff to get to.
You're like Andy Reid with that play calling sheet with how many papers that you have in front of you today.
You know what? Comparing me to the greatest coach in NFL history is absolutely an honor. So thank you, sir.
No, he's not right now the greatest coach in NFL history.
Well, we can debate that.
Well, you can. What about the first 20 years?
Well, listen, we can have plenty of conversations.
No, I'm just saying. Here's the thing that's
funny.
Do you
want to have the conversation now?
No, I don't.
I can certainly do it, and I can make the argument.
I want to get to overreaction, proper reaction. But here's why it's a stupid argument. I'm not saying he's not one of the greatest coaches in NFL history, but it just shows you it's better to have success later in your career than for the majority of your career. And I know what Andy Reid did was very special. He got to a bunch of NFC title games and a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. But for 20 years, Andy Reid was the guy that was good coach, even a great coach, but he can't win the big game. And now he gets Patrick Mahomes, and it's, oh, he's the greatest coach of all time, where Bill Belichick dominated the NFL and kicked Andy Reid's ass for two decades in playoff games, in Super Bowls, but now he doesn't have success without Tom Brady, and everyone's like, oh, Belichick's a bum, and Andy Reid's great, but let's just forget 20 years before that. But anyway, let's
just
get
say
to
Andy
Reid
has had success with three different quarterbacks in two different cities where Bill Belichick only had success with one quarterback in one city.
Well, if we're saying that Andy Reid had success with
Donovan
Smith,
McNabb.
Well, hold on. With Alex Smith, then
sure.
Bill Belichick had success with Matt Cassel. He won 11 games with Matt Cassel. If that's just the bar of success.
That was a one-year thing. Alex Smith was there for multiple years with Andy
okay.
Reid.
Did he not make the playoffs one year with Mac Jones? Did he not? I know the others was a bad job by Belichick.
He was also terrible in Cleveland, too.
Well, he made the playoffs and beat Bill Parcells in a playoff game.
And he also had a losing record in Cleveland. And he also had a losing record in New England before Tom Brady took over, despite Drew Bledsoe
one
being his quarterback.
One year
and two games.
And who drafted Tom Brady?
He's great at drafting. Hey, he drafted a great quarterback. We're talking about coaches. We're not talking about who drafted. Yeah, sure. He did a great job with that. Andy Reid also developed Patrick Mahomes. So there's that.
Okay. And without Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid would have zero championships. I could just, if we're going to play that game with Belichick, oh, without Brady, he's nothing.
Sure.
You know, without Patrick Mahomes, Reid has nothing.
Just saying Andy Reid had much more success without his superstar all-time great quarterback. Bill Belichick
and
did not.
Then hold on. When Andy Reid had his all-time great quarterback and Belichick had his all-time great quarterback, who won?
Sure.
In Andy Reid's building in Kansas City.
Sure. Listen, if there's any knock, that could be it. But Reid has had more success over a longer period of time with multiple franchises and various different quarterbacks.
He's not had longer. So Belichick dominated the NFL for 20 years. But anyway, get to overreaction, proper reaction. You didn't even watch the overtime of the Super Bowl. See, that's the trump card with Samter for the rest of any argument. Because a good husband move made you miss the end of the Super Bowl because your DVR wasn't working.
Listen, if you want to question my decision-making, but my ability to talk about the history of the NFL has nothing to do with my inability to watch the last 5 minutes of the Super Bowl.
You can't talk about the history. You didn't watch the last overtime.
You know what, though? I've gone back now and I've watched it, so now we're good. I just didn't watch it live.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, the Bears hold the number one overall pick, and reports say the Commanders are considering a major trade package to move up from number two to draft Caleb Williams. Other rumors speculate the Steelers might be interested in Justin Fields, which we talked about earlier. Overreaction, proper reaction. The Bears will trade Fields and draft Caleb Williams.
That is a proper reaction. They're going to draft Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, and they will absolutely trade Justin Fields. And you could start the speculation. Will it be Atlanta? I don't think they would trade him in division to Minnesota, but Minnesota probably should come calling and see what it would take. And then also you had Schefter throwing out the Pittsburgh Steelers the other day. So that is a proper reaction.
Now, the Lions had a 17-point lead over the Niners in the NFC title game before blowing the game. However, heading into the offseason, only four starters are unrestricted free agents in Detroit, and none of them are any of the main core members of the team. So overreaction, proper reaction, the Lions can win the Super Bowl in 2024.
Absolutely, that's a proper reaction, because the teams in the NFC, I don't know how many teams I trust. I don't trust the Eagles right now. I don't trust the Cowboys. You look inside the NFC North, I like the direction that the Packers are moving in. You go inside the South, I don't think any of those teams could win a Super Bowl next season. And inside the NFC West, I like what the Rams are doing. I think they could be a Super Bowl contender. And the 49ers now have a lot of money invested into some of their top players, and they're going to have to trim some with the salary cap perspective. So I think this is right there for the taking. And I do believe that the Lions can win the Super Bowl next year, at bare minimum be in the Super Bowl. So I would go, that's a proper reaction.
Now, to the surprise of many, the Eagles retained Nick Sirianni, while the Cowboys kept Mike McCarthy at the helm. However, reports indicated that some unnamed owners and GMs have already reached out to Bill Belichick about possible coaching jobs after next season. Talk about putting the cart before the horse, but overreaction, proper reaction. Neither Sirianni nor McCarthy will be coaching their respective teams after next season.
I'm going to say I think McCarthy's done at the end of this year. He is a lame duck head coach where if you don't get to an NFC title game, I think you are donezo. I do believe the Eagles like the control of Sirianni that they have with Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie. So I think it's more likely that McCarthy doesn't get brought back than it is Sirianni. And McCarthy's entering the final year of his deal. But you know what? I think the Eagles are going to have some problems in that locker room, and it's going to continue even with the talent. So I'm going to say that's a proper reaction that neither Sirianni or McCarthy will be coaching their respective teams after 2024.
Now, Tua had a breakout season for the Dolphins, leading the NFL in passing and finishing top five in completion percentage, touchdowns, and QB rating. However, as we discussed multiple times on the show, Tua fell short in a lot of the biggest games, including an awful performance in the playoffs in their loss against the Chiefs. So overreaction, proper reaction. Tua Tagovailoa is a franchise quarterback.
That is an overreaction. So Tua is a good quarterback. I would not call Tua a great quarterback. And I know people will tell me about his prodigious stats from this past year. Name me the big game that they won this season outside of the Cowboys game. Who the Cowboys are notoriously known for being the drama Dallas choking Cowboys.
Yeah, who would choke first, the Dolphins or the Cowboys in that game?
Yeah, so that was the only big game that the Dolphins won this year. And Dallas was overrated all throughout the year. So Tua stayed healthy this year, which is great to see. But on the field, in the big moments, in the big spots, he didn't lead his team to victory. So I think that's a guy when you give him the contract that he'll inevitably get, I don't believe that's going to have a good ending with the Miami Dolphins.
We've talked about him a bunch already today. Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback selected in the first round of the 2022 draft, but has thrown just 13 touchdown passes in 24 starts, being benched multiple times by Mike Tomlin throughout the season. Overreaction, proper reaction. It's actually still too early for the Steelers to give up on Pickett.
Oh, that's an overreaction. I've seen enough. I know he has all these game-winning drives, but when you watch him play the position, I just don't think he has what it takes to be a franchise quarterback in this league. You have a defense that's starting to get a little bit older, but still a very solid defense, and you have some good young offensive players. You need a quarterback that's ready to go. We talked about potentially getting Kirk Cousins. We talked about potentially getting Justin Fields, even Russell Wilson on a cheap one-year deal. I think all three of those guys are vastly better than what Kenny Pickett is right now or what he can be in the future. So when you say it's still too early for the Steelers to give up on Pickett, I would go overreaction.
After a slow start, the Bills got hot, winning their final five games to steal the AFC East from Miami. However, after beating the Steelers in the playoffs, Josh Allen and Buffalo flamed out once again against my Chiefs. Overreaction, proper reaction. The Bills' window for winning a title has closed.
I'm going to say overreaction because the reason why I say that, I look at Super Bowl contending teams in the AFC entering next season. Chiefs would be one. Then the team right behind them would be the Cincinnati Bengals because they've done it before. You just got to keep Burrow healthy. And then number three would still be the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen. I think those are your three best teams right now entering next season and the three quarterbacks that I have the most confidence in the AFC entering next season. So, yeah, they still have to find a way to win a big game. Allen has been there. He's played well. McDermott has not done a good job in these big games. His defense has let him down as well. So I'm not going to say it's likely that they go win a Super Bowl, but as long as you have Josh Allen at quarterback, I think you'll be right in the mix. So I'm not going to say proper reaction. I'm going to go overreaction. You say the Bills' window for winning a title is closed.
Lamar Jackson became just the 11th player ever to win multiple MVPs, but once again fell short in the playoffs despite the dominant regular season. In six career postseason games, Lamar is completing just 57% of his passes with only six passing touchdowns with six picks, though he does have 300-yard rushing games. Overreaction, proper reaction. Lamar Jackson will never win a Super Bowl.
Oh. Last year you asked me this question, I would have yelled at you. I would say this is a ridiculous question because I didn't think there was enough sample size. This year, you're the number one seed. Teams are vulnerable in the AFC. You crushed the 49ers in the NFC. You were clearly the best team in football. And you played, what, one good half of football? And that was not even up against the Chiefs. It was against the Texans, who no one thought was going to be in the second round of the postseason when the season started. So you played one good half of football in the four halves that you had in the postseason. And in the AFC Championship game, it's not like Kansas City did anything special on offense. They scored 17 points. And anytime you had a chance to get back in the game, you couldn't do it. So Lamar Jackson will never win a Super Bowl. I hate to say it, but I think that's a proper reaction. And especially with how much they use him in the run game, and they went away from that this year. Like, this was the year to keep it simple and do what you do best. And Monken going away from that wasted their season in that AFC title game.
Kirk Cousins is going to be the most sought-after QB free agent this offseason despite missing 9 games with injury. While his future in Minnesota is in doubt, our buddy Justin Jefferson told us last week on Radio Row he wants his signal caller back.
I have no idea. I know I talked to Kirk, of course. I know Kirk wants to be with his team. I know that he has done everything in his power to be out there and to do well for us, and he's been doing great for us. You know, he's been, you know, putting up tremendous numbers for us. So I would like to have him back. Of course, having that connection with him for 4 years is tough to regain that with, you know, a new quarterback.
It feels like it's a breakup. Like, you don't want it to end. It's good time, but it feels like it's coming to an end.
I hope not.
Overreaction, proper reaction. Kirk Cousins will be playing elsewhere in 2024.
Yeah, I said that directly to Justin Jefferson, as you just heard, that it feels like that's it for Kirk Cousins. I think the front office tried to last year, from everything you heard, try to move up in that draft to go trade for Anthony Richardson. Maybe they'll try to do that again if a quarterback falls, but if not, I don't think they're giving another long-term deal to Kirk Cousins. It could be a mistake, but I do believe Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell kind of operating under the belief that they're going to be without Kirk Cousins for next season. So Cousins will be playing somewhere else in 2024. I would go proper reaction. By the way, you want to know why you're wrong in the Andy Reid Belichick debate real quickly?
Oh, going back to that.
Shep just tweeted me, and Shep is on the side of Andy Reid. So if you want to argue on the side of Shep, I thought you were almost just about to curse, then go ahead. If you want
to
join Shep.
I need to talk to Hickey and find out where Hickey stands, because if Hickey can even out to Shep, then I'm right back on an even playing field.
I think Hickey would probably take Andy Reid because he hates Bill Belichick.
Oh, man. I have to find out about Hickey.
The blind leading the blind here. You don't want to get in line on that.
Okay, now the Bengals missed the playoffs without Joe Burrow under center, but since he entered the offseason with question marks at wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase is eligible for an extension, while T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd are both free agents. Now, reports today say that T. Higgins is likely to get the franchise tag.
Which they should.
Overreaction, proper reaction. The Bengals do have to keep Chase and Higgins if they want to contend for a Super Bowl.
Long term, you're saying?
Yeah.
I'll go overreaction. They have to keep Ja'Marr Chase. Now, T. Higgins is an excellent number two wide receiver. You could let him go after franchise tagging him for 1 year, and you play it out because you have a team that's capable of winning a Super Bowl, and you could draft someone else to complement Ja'Marr Chase. It would be great if they could keep them both, but I don't think they have to keep both. Chase and Burrow, you can't separate them. Higgins, unfortunately, you could afford to lose him. And as long as you're able to protect Joe Burrow, they'll have a chance against any team in the NFL.
Last one, my former team, the Jets. Their season ended after just 4 plays when Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. Gangrene has 5 starters hitting free agency, along with their leading sacker, Bryce Huff, who apparently thinks he belongs in that top 5 conversation with Micah Parsons. But let's get to that another time. Overreaction, proper reaction. The Jets will make the playoffs as long as Rodgers stays healthy.
I'm going to go overreaction. I got to see what that offensive line looks like. I'm an easy person with
football. I mean, the good news is two of them are probably going to be gone, so maybe they can revamp the whole thing.
Well, under Joe Douglas's tenure, we've been hearing about this offensive line being revamped for now like 4 years, his entire tenure. He hasn't revamped the offensive line one damn time correctly.
I mean, he's revamped it, but it hasn't gone well.
It sucked.
A lot of injuries. Mekhi Becton's been injured. Elijah Vera Tucker's been injured.
Okay, that happens in the NFL.
Yeah.
This offensive line has not gotten better. It has sucked.
They're definitely drafting another one, number 10 in the draft.
Yeah. I hope they take a quarterback. How great would it be? At number 10 in the draft, the Jets select J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, Michigan.
Listen, if Jaden Daniels falls or something, maybe. But J.J. McCarthy, 10, I would jump off a bridge.
Oh, Rodgers. Rodgers. Well, you're not a Jet fan anymore, so it doesn't matter.
Touche.
We are exposing Samter today. I actually feel bad about this with all what Samter did for us at the Super Bowl. But, man, I think Rodgers... what did he put four fingers in that scotch drink when they drafted Jordan Love? I think he's double fisting at that point if they select a quarterback in this draft. And then going to do some ayahuasca and then going right on McAfee and then right after McAfee locking himself in a dark cave for about 3 days. Oh, that would be so. That, you know what? Here's my one wish of the NFL offseason. My one wish is that the Jets draft a quarterback in the first round because I love me some drama, drama, drama. And some more drama. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Listen up. I won't sugarcoat it. This is the longest cold flu and allergy season we've ever seen, but we're not alone. We've got Instacart. Sure, you may be a coughing snot faucet who just wants mommy, but you're not giving up. Not when cold medicine, fragrant herbal teas, and honey shaped like bears can be delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. Now let's go win the sick playoffs!
Daddy, I just want my soup.
Oh, sorry, Sport app says it'll be here in a few minutes. Instacart for the win.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So we're going to do a draft here right now. Mahomes right now is the king of the NFL. So we're going to make five selections each. Who is the next quarterback to, you want to do it this way, win a Super Bowl. The next quarterback to win a Super Bowl and take down Patrick Mahomes. So whether that's beating him in the playoffs in the AFC or beating him in the Super Bowl in the NFC. Because right now, this is Mahomes' world. Everyone's chasing Mahomes, and we're just all living it, and we're watching it. So I will start things off. I will go with the obvious one, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has defeated Mahomes three times, once in the postseason. As long as he stays healthy, he is the first guy you have to draft on this list. Samter, go ahead. Samter always gets screwed in this draft, don't I realize? Because either I go Stu first
or
I go first. And basically, Samter is like the frosting inside the Oreo. It may be the best. It is the best part, but you're just getting screwed out of this conversation whenever we do these drafts. So what do you got?
Yeah, so number two is tough for me. There's three or four guys that are kind of angling for this number two after Burrow, but I think it's really just the most obvious one, the guy who, the kind of the Michael Jordan versus the Pistons kind of thing, the guy who just can't get over that hump, but once he does, it looks like a championship is his, so I'm going to go Josh Allen with the Bills.
Okay. Sue?
All right. My first pick, I know I have two picks here, my first pick.
No, why do you get two picks?
It's a snake draft. When you get the first draft, when you get the first pick, you snake it. That's how it works.
I don't know. I got this nice water bottle at some party, this Gatorade water bottle. I'm reading the fine print here. It says there's no snake drafts allowed on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Then having the first pick, you automatically get the best team. It doesn't work like that. The whole point of a snake draft. Come on now.
You know what we should do?
Tell me now.
If I ever need a drink on the air, we should have like Shep just on standby. He comes running in, and he's basically like the water boy around here for us. That's what we should do. He could be like a trainer for us on this show, since Shep always tries to get on this show in some capacity and try to start fights with us on this very fine radio program. Anyway, Stu, what do you got?
Yeah, there are a few options here. As much as this hurts me, I will put Justin Herbert as my first pick, only because with Harbaugh, I just think, you know, that kind of unlocks his potential. And then for my second pick, I will go C.J. Stroud. I just like the upside of that team. It might be, you know, he might not be the next one to do it. They might be a couple years away, but he's right there. He's such a good young player.
All righty, Samter.
Oh, man.
It's a good pick, by the way, Stu.
Yeah, but both of those. Those have been, like, I was angling for a bunch of guys at number two. Stroud and Herbert were both within that number two range. So Stu may have gotten the two next best picks after your Burrow. I mean, at the end of the day, I know he keeps falling in the playoffs, but Lamar Jackson is a two-time MVP. You can't avoid Lamar. Eventually, maybe he'll be able to take down Patrick Mahomes.
All righty, my next pick. I don't believe in this team anymore, but I still believe in the player. And let's just remember a year ago, this player outplayed, even though they lost, Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl. I am going to take Jalen Hurts. And even though I don't think this was just a one-time problem with the Eagles, I'm going to hope that it is a one-time problem. So I'm going Jalen Hurts. Now, I get the next pick here. Who? This is going to be interesting. Is anyone going to go with a guy that's a little bit older? That's my question. Now, I'm not taking Rodgers because he's the quarterback of the Jets. But you know who I will take? A guy that won a Super Bowl a few years ago, a guy that I think found some new life this year. They drafted Puka Nacua. He was a stud. If it wasn't for Stroud, he would have won Offensive Rookie of the Year. You still got Cooper Kupp. You still got Aaron Donald. And you got Sean McVay. I'm going to take, with my next selection, Matthew Stafford.
It's not a bad pick. I had him a little bit lower down. I think it's a little bit of a reach. If I'm Mel Kiper, I'm saying you probably could have gotten him in the third or fourth round. You didn't have to go second round with this guy. You know what?
Is that like Belichick drafting Cole Strange?
No, it's like Trent Dilfer going number two, maybe something like that. Let's look ahead. All right. You know what? I may or may not have been a Jet fan in my past, but the Jets defense is loaded. Their offense is loaded. They just need that quarterback. They're going to draft an offensive lineman. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, that team is going to be dangerous, and I think that they can take out Patrick Mahomes like they did during the regular season.
You took Rodgers?
Yes, sir.
You sure about that?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is who I just took. Okay. His name is Aaron Rodgers. He's the quarterback of the New York Football Jets.
The guy that couldn't win a second Super Bowl in Green Bay, right?
Hey, I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl. Games. I'm not saying they're winning a Super Bowl, but they are going to beat Patrick Mahomes in the third round.
Yeah. Wait, now you're rooting for the Jets to beat the Chiefs? I thought you were a Chiefs fan.
I'm doing a quarterback draft of who's going to take down Mahomes.
Fugazi.
So every pick that I make is anti-Chiefs.
My mother, I was talking to her yesterday, and she goes, Samter's football fandom seems a little fugazi. Even my mother said that. She goes, she said that she likes Mike, but she did say... He seems a little fugazi with the football fandom.
Listen, I love your mom. I've met her once. She seems to be very anti-Samter.
I was like, is that a joke? I forgot my mother came in the studio once.
Yeah, she seems to be very anti-Samter. I hear a lot of Samter messages.
She'll make you some brownies one day. Maybe not the Delta 9 brownies Brian has, but she'll make you some good brownies. Stu, what do you got?
For my next pick, I don't really believe in the quarterback per se, but I believe in the team a lot, and that's Brock Purdy of the 49ers.
Oh, great one.
I assume he's going to be the quarterback there for at least the next few years or so, and they still have a good chance to win a Super Bowl. For my wraparound pick, I will go Deshaun Watson. Ooh. I think the Browns have a good amount of talent around him, a good defense led by Myles Garrett. Again, maybe I don't necessarily believe that the quarterback is elite, but... with what he has around him, I think the Browns could make some noise next year.
All right.
I mean, I guess if Flacco can do it, Deshaun Watson can do it. All right, you know what? I'm torn here because if we're talking about taking down Mahomes, the odds are it's going to be an AFC quarterback because the only way it's going to be an NFC guy is if they win the Super Bowl over the Chiefs. So you got to lean towards the AFC guys.
By the way, can I just say a name that's still available?
Yeah.
Dak Prescott is still available, just letting everyone know. Yeah. Just letting everyone know Dak Prescott is still available.
I can give you a bunch of names that are still available, but I don't want to ruin all this.
No, I'm just saying Dak Prescott's still available.
So I was kind of leaning AFC. The Dolphins were good. Tua looked really good, but he just could not win in the big games. However, there was somebody who came onto the scene out of nowhere and looks like he might be the legit third coming of this franchise. Back-to-back-to-back quarterbacks.
Oh.
Jordan Love is my pick. Jordan Love is going to be the next guy to take down Patrick Mahomes.
You know what? That is an egregious miss. I think Love should have gone before Purdy, should have gone before Watson, honestly should have gone before Rodgers. Like, I think Love with what he did in year one is better than Watson. You almost saw Love beat Purdy in that playoff game. And then Rodgers, I think he's only playing for another year.
Are they winning
a
Super Bowl, though, in the next 3 years?
Rookie contracts? Oh, no, well, they already did that extension. No, it's fair, but do they really have a great team in Green Bay? I don't think so. They exceeded expectations. You know what? Maybe egregious miss is a little strong. I probably thought maybe should have gone a pick or two earlier. All right, anyway. My next pick here. Oh, I get two here. I'm not picking Dak. I'm going Trevor Lawrence, bounce back. Trevor Lawrence, bounce back. And then you know what? I really want to go Arch Manning, but I'm not. I'm taking Caleb Williams. I'll take a gamble pick in the future. Caleb Williams.
All right, I had Caleb Williams a little higher up, but then I realized most likely he's going into the NFC.
There is one guy in the NFC that should be picked before this exercise is over. One guy that should definitely be picked.
Well, I got two NFC
and
guys
it's
and
not
an
Dak.
AFC guy.
It's not Dak.
I know you're going with Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm. But I think Stu will do us right here and pick him last if you don't. My man, Stu. Thank you.
Now, you know what? Because I'm down to three guys. I got Tua, Dak, and Goff left. I've got Tua ranked higher, but now you kind of talked me into Goff. I'm going Jared Goff because I do think the Lions are going to get there to the Super Bowl or at least have that opportunity. So, again, the NFC is tough because they got to be in the Super Bowl. With the AFC, you can win a divisional round game against the Chiefs. You can win a wild card game against the Chiefs.
Sure, but
so I'm going to go with Goff, even though I'm leaning towards AFC. I just don't see Tua taking down, even though I love Tua. I really do. I'm going to go Goff because I want to show love to the Lions.
But I think the purpose of this draft is you take down Mahomes and you eventually go on to win the Super Bowl.
Right, but the only way the NFC teams could do that is by winning the Super Bowl, whereas a team could beat the Chiefs. You don't have to take down Mahomes.
One shot.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. Now, if we're talking about guys that are going to win the Super Bowl and take out Mahomes, that's a different story, but
okay.
I think we're good.
Gotcha. You know what I just realized during this process? I would not be good at a fantasy football draft. Now, I'm in a bunch of fantasy football drafts that are in person, but I'm basically telling everyone how to pick right now. Stu is the guy that he wanted Jared Goff. He's like, oh, I got Goff. He's still available. And then I'm talking, and then I convinced Samter to take Jared Goff here and just screwed Stu.
Yeah.
So you know how I said we started this, that Samter always gets screwed in these drafts? It was actually Stu ended up getting screwed here.
Now I got to pick between Dak and Tua, which is a very interesting choice.
You know, want Arch Manning?
I mean, he's on the list.
Jaden Daniels. Just Tom Brady's kid?
I'm talking about Drake May, maybe? And no one's talking about Drake May.
Yeah.
I'll go to it. I just think that offense has a chance to explode. And, again, they can build off it. Maybe Tua stays healthy. I don't think Dak is going to win a Super Bowl.
We just picked 15 quarterbacks that could potentially take down Patrick Mahomes. And Dak Prescott and the 12-win Cowboys were not one of them.
Micah Parsons is on the line. Oh. How about Micah Parsons with us on Radio Row? Just taking a crap on TJ Watt. That was something. We'll get into that later in the show. We'll revisit that. But, man, not having Dak on this list with 15 quarterbacks. How about them Cowboys? Just out of principle, since of the drama Dallas choking Cowboys, I couldn't pick Dak. I'm surprised one of you two didn't pick Dak, but I think it just shows that regardless what the Cowboys do in the regular season, everyone just has this belief that Dak is going to fold in the postseason. And since, I guess, Stu, your line of thinking here is that Tua is younger, so we've just seen less failure in the big moments.
Definitely.
Rather when we've just seen Dak and the Cowboys choke each and every year. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Are you in a higher chair than normal, Stu, today? Or is that the regular chair that you use?
No, this is a normal chair. The camera that is on me fluctuates. And it's height.
I was going to say, you look like you were very high up today. Maybe it's just because I haven't basically seen you for a week. But I thought that seat that you had basically had hydraulics for a second. I thought you were about to touch the ceiling. So here's the draft to best beat Mahomes moving forward. I have Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Stafford, Lawrence, Williams. And Samter has Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, Jared Goff. Good pick with Jordan Love. Stu has Justin Herbert, CJ Stroud, Brock Purdy, rocking out with his Brock out, Deshaun Watson, and Tua Tagovailoa. Update time. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Make this Valentine's Day one she'll remember forever with an engagement ring from JamesAllen.com. James Allen knows each love story is unique. That's why they make it easy to custom design engagement rings at up to half the price of a traditional jeweler. Choose from tons of conflict-free diamonds, both natural and lab-grown, then pick your ring setting and metal. Shop the James Allen Valentine's Day sale and get 25% off with promo code PODCAST. That's 25% off at jamesallen.com, promo code PODCAST.
I'm Tony, and this is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Wow. That makes it sound a bit more serious than it really is. So what exactly is the show about? It's been almost 30 years and I still don't know. Right now we have some of the best voices in football come on to explain to us what we need to know in the college and pro world. And we get weekly picks from a monkey. Do you really need more than that? I might just tell you about my bunker game and the latest failed entry in my quest to find the best coffee ice cream. No schmutz, please. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Chapman's hit podcast was canceled.
As you know, my old show, The Chris Chapman Confrontation, was a victim of a little thing called cancel culture.
But he's learned, he's grown, and he's ready to win back his audience.
I'm back, better than ever, with The Chris Chapman Do-Over.
Starring Ike Barinholtz.
I have a new lady co-host on the pod.
Lisa Gilroy.
My mic is on!
And Neil Casey is the professor.
Greetings, my humans.
The new hit improv comedy, The Chris Chapman Do-Over. An Odyssey and Paper Kite production. Listen on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. You look back at 2013. That was the offseason when Andy Reid was available. Andy Reid was hired by the Kansas City Chiefs. The Eagles replaced Reid with Chip Kelly, who had good regular season numbers, but just terrible finishes. Now, he was kind of like Cliff Kingsbury. His teams would get off to these awesome starts, you would believe, and then down the stretch, it would just be absolutely miserable. And Chip did not connect with that locker room. So that, in hindsight, ended up being a mistake. The Chicago Bears, they hired Mark Trestman. Remember that name? The Jaguars, Gus Bradley. The San Diego Chargers, go Chargers, go. Mike McCoy. The Buffalo Bills, Doug Marrone. The Cleveland Browns, wow, remember this name? Rob Chudzinski. The Browns also had like 9,000 coaches in that 10-year stretch. And then the last one was Bruce Arians with the Arizona Cardinals, who had success with the Cardinals. So I'm looking at this SB Nation article from 2013. The class of 2013 ranking the new NFL head coaching hires. Well, them ranking Bruce Arians last, it was just comical. But it was in that order. Reed was one, good selection. Then Chip Kelly was two. Mark Trestman was three. Gus Bradley was four. Mike McCoy was five. Doug Marrone was six. Rob Chudzinski was seven. And Bruce Arians was eight. Now, at the time, if you recall, go ahead, Samter, sorry.
Yeah, it feels very weird looking back at that because, like, even though Bruce Arians was kind of an unknown commodity, he took over for Pagano and basically won Coach of the Year.
He did win
great.
Coach of the Year. Yeah.
He was great. So, like, how he's the last one there, it feels a little bit weird because the guy had proven success as a head coach literally the year before he went to the Cardinals. Like, Chudzinski had no proven track record. So, like, it made no sense that Bruce Arians was that far down the list. Yeah, let me hear.
So this was SB Nation Ryan Van Bibber. I don't even know who that is.
That's probably why.
Is that an AI name?
It might be, but the fact that you haven't heard that name is probably the reason. The fact that Arians is that far down the list is probably why you don't know that name very well.
So let me just preface this by saying I have not read this before. So if it's something that's crazy or something along those lines, this is not me saying this. This is what was said in 2013. I'm not really sure about this one. What Arians did this year as an interim coach for Chuck Pagano was impressive. On the other hand, the beloved head coach fighting cancer is one hell of a motivating factor. Uy. Arians Colts also had a pretty talented quarterback in Andrew Luck and a painfully easy schedule. The Bidwells are notoriously inept at running a football team. Full disclosure, I'm from St. Louis. And the handling of the situation with Ray Horton was not a good one to start a new era. Well, I weren't wrong about Bidwell and them being inept running football teams. But that's kind of crazy looking back at that. Because, you know, I knew B.A. then. I actually had him on, I want to say it was my college radio show, when he was taken over as the interim head coach with Pagano having cancer, leukemia, I believe it was. And he came on my show, and I think he said he would keep the Coach of the Year award if he were to win it. And that was like one of the first times I remember, as the kids would say, going viral. But you are right. I'm not saying that he should have been like too automatically on that list. That's what it ended up being compared to all the other people. Like Chip Kelly was the talk of college football back then. And that turned into something that was fair, putting Kelly in front of Arians. Now, it didn't pan out to be true.
I mean, that was the dream team.
Yeah, Mark Trestman was a hot name at times. But, you know, Gus Bradley was a hot name. But I don't know. You're going to put Doug Marrone over Bruce Arians? You know, Doug Marrone coming from Syracuse? Jedzinski? All righty. Maybe you're right. That's why we haven't ever heard of this guy ever since. And hey, people make lists all the time, and they lists end up not aging well. I'm sure I've made quite a few lists that have not aged well. I didn't think we'd be spending this much time on the show about this guy, but now I'm kind of curious what happens if you search his name. Ryan Van Bibber. Still says he's a journalist somewhere. Not that you judge everyone by followers. 4,680 followers. Yeah, I guess there hasn't been much from him. Carrington Harrison follows him. So that'd be a well-respected. So I love Carrington. His last tweet was November 1st of 2023. Starting to think that Josh McDaniels might not be head coaching material.
Hey, he wasn't wrong.
You found my burner account.
He wasn't wrong.
Right. It does sound like a fake account. Ryan Van Bibber? That's the name of this account? I'm looking at his LinkedIn right now. Audio production instructor. So, anyway, everyone's entitled to lists. Sometimes, though, you do see these lists and you're like, who the heck is this? There are some lists that I go, is this a real person? And who was it? Who was the company that was doing AI articles? Didn't that happen recently?
I think it was SI, wasn't it?
Oh, so maybe they should just call SI then AI.
Ha-ha.
Now, like, I thought SI went under, right? They had a Super Bowl party this year. I was invited to their Super Bowl party. So is SI still functioning, Samter?
Yeah, I mean, they're still pumping out stuff. They're just getting rid of a lot of their talent, and they're changing ownership, but they're still, for now, existing.
All right, let me ask you one more question here. So Reed at that time in 2013 was referred to as the coach that was well-respected, phenomenal coach, but could never win the big game. Now Kyle Shanahan's, you know, he's not going to get fired, I don't think, anytime soon, nor should he. But he has been in a lot of these big games, and he hasn't been able to win them, and they have choked these big games in embarrassing fashion. Like, whenever Andy Reid would get in a big game, he would refuse to run the football, and his time management was horrendous. With Shanahan, he gets all these leads and then refuses to run the ball, and they can't find a way to get the job done. So I look at Shanahan. Is Shanahan the next Andy Reid? I can't sit here and say that right now. I think he's a good coach. Maybe one day he wins one Super Bowl. But with his team not being prepared for overtime, forget the decision, but not being prepared, not knowing the rules, and how many times they've been there and they have blown leads in the second half, maybe one day you get one. But for Andy Reid to not only get one but get multiple, it turned out he had to draft the greatest quarterback or one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. For the 49ers, they tried doing that with Trey Lance. They tried bringing in Jimmy G. Now they have Brock Purdy, who's a good quarterback, but I don't know if he's ever going to have this like enormous advantage at the quarterback position compared to some of the other guys that are playing right now.
Here's just a question quick. When Andy Reid was falling short, NFC Championship games, Super Bowls, I know that there was clock management issues with Andy Reid, but were there people questioning his ability as a coach, or was it more like on McNabb, on T.O., or on, you know, the lack of receivers for McNabb? With Shanahan, it feels like when he loses Atlanta and San Fran, it's him making bad decisions and bad play calls and bad strategy.
So I do think, I know you always get back to the whole McNabb mysterious puke thing, which I don't even know is true, but I do think there was a lot of times when Andy would lose a big game, and I know this was the case. It was terrible clock management, refusing to run the football in the second half. You know, remember that time where it was, who was it? I think Kelsey got hurt against Tennessee. Someone got hurt, and they barely used Kareem Hunt, and he led the league in rushing that year. So there was multiple instances where, yeah, I guess the receivers weren't always great in Philly, but then when you look around before he got Mahomes, they didn't run the ball a lot, and then the clock management was terrible.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
I'm Tony, and this is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Wow, that makes it sound a bit more serious than it really is. So what exactly is the show about? It's been almost 30 years, and I still don't know. Right now, we have some of the best voices in football come on to explain to us what we need to know in the college and pro world, and we get weekly picks from a monkey. Do you really need more than that? I might just tell you about my bunker game and the latest failed entry in my quest to find the best coffee ice cream. No schmutz, please. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.